Welcome back to the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Just gone 5 minutes after noon, and I didn't get any chance during the break to get my extempo going, and anybody could thank Wayne for that. Wayne kept me on the line during the break. I have a notice here from the corporate communications specialist from Keir Shepherd, so we're going to take that in, and then I'll try a WhatsApp call, and then we could get on moving along down the line. So this one says, good day, Corey. This is Mark Anthony, Manager of Customer Service and Corporate Communications at Keir Shepherd. It is good to know that after 113 years of service to Barbados, we are still the benchmark of retail. Our management took the decision to suspend business at all of our locations from 2 p.m. Saturday the 28th of March until further notice, in accordance with the government COVID-19 protocols and concerns for the well-being of staff and customers. With reference to card payments for the Keir Shepherd, Visa, Scotia, RBC, Royal Bank, and CIBC First Caribbean International, where are the banks where you can add Keir Shepherd card to their list of pay a bill, internet service, or mobile app. However, Pages Stores, Supercenter Warrens, and Big B Worthing will remain open. They are massive, but it got Supercenter, you know. Will remain open as payment centers, solely open for the purpose and not for trading. I trust this brings some clarity to the ongoing debate. Please be safe. And finally, Our credit card service operates under the remit of Central Bank as a financial service institution, which has authorization to operate. So that will bring clarity to the matter there. And I want to thank Mark Anthony for responding and keeping with the truth that is Radio Works. Now, we'll try to link up here, take a WhatsApp call. We say good afternoon and welcome. Caller, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Good, excellent. So you're able to make your contribution. So go right ahead.
Good afternoon, the audience, and good afternoon to you, Corey. I haven't spoken on this through this medium in a long time, but I was forced to come in because of obviously the COVID epidemic, pandemic. Mm-hmm. And I want to come in to look at aspect of the problem that hasn't been talked about yet, and this is this whole idea of exponential growth or spread, where you see the spread of the disease galloping. And you see it a lot in New York, where one day you would get one number and then the next day it raised by 5,000, 6,000, 3,000, 2,000, but it's rising at a faster rate than the day before, and continues to do that. Now, in Barbados' case, the issue is the level of testing. The official count, when I last saw it, was about 287 tests done, and that is not enough, because you need more testing to be able to determine the level of exponential spread that you might have in the system. So even though we locked down, I still think that we should have a boost up in the testing, if we could. Because we need to know, we need to have evidence. If you watch the US, the updates, it's all about data. We need more data to give us a chance to be comfortable as to where we stand. And testing would do that. The contact tracing is useful, but the contact tracing in itself adds to testing, because then you test the person to determine, well, I hope you test the person to determine if they have it or not. They might have to, because then you release the ones that don't have. So contact tracing do add to the testing. It's not separate, based on how you understand it. But the key thing about exponential spread comes now to the whole issue of social distancing, that is the issue now that we have the lockdown. The lockdown serves a good purpose, but it's only complete if you don't have the potential for exponential spread by people not doing social distancing. Now, to me, this is my opinion on it, what should have been the mantra a long while ago, we should have had protocols to keep people in a documented way. Barbados like to follow rules written. Verbal rules that they ignore, but written rules they tend to follow a little bit better. So the question that I guess the audience would be curious about is, what are the conditions that could lead to exponential spread? And exponential spread is only a function of crowded environments. The more people are crowded together, the higher the potential for the disease to spread, because it's highly contagious. And here are some of the examples of crowded environments that we don't have at least written protocols that were around for a while or exist now that would have helped. One, the crowded way how you go to the supermarket, either queuing outside or inside, could add to a rapid outbreak. The same way you go to the banks and the credit unions, that bunching and queuing, close environments. These two at the end are the most serious to me. But I can put the one that is most serious at the end. Hospitals and clinics. I know from personal experience, there's no execution of social distancing in our hospitals and clinics. And that is where I have the biggest fear. There's no written protocol, and I have seen from example, given instruction how to or where to keep your distance. Even among patients that are outpatients that have to return for different treatments, you don't even have the distance in it. So my biggest concern is that even though we have this lockdown, is that the potential for exponential spread is highest because we don't have protocols and people are not following protocols, even if you advise them to keep the social distance, because that is where you then see the numbers jump in a crazy way. And that's when it spreads out a lot. Well, you're not having the data to tell you that it's spreading. The one that concerns me, I put this at the top, put QH at the bottom, is mass transport. The ZRs, the minibuses, in some cases the taxis and these people. But the ZRs and the minibuses especially, they transport thousands of Barbadians every day. And I don't know if there's a written protocol. I heard recently about some things. But the problem with the coronavirus at this time is any lag time, 3 weeks, 2 weeks, 4 weeks, before you execute a protocol, it's like you take 4 years to do it. The thing spreads out in that space. So my biggest concern is that the need to have, as we reopen, whenever we do, a serious protocol as to how people are transported. The way how the ZRs and the minibuses are constructed, they're constructed because they're small and compact. So you don't allow for a lot of spacing, but you have to have some kind of spacing if you're gonna have a handle on the exponential spread, which is most important. Now, I would want to make another point in a broader way about the Barbados population and why population assessment is important in trying to handle the situation. Barbados population is just under 300,000. And the key thing about the population, and you say in New York, for example.
Wait, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Before you go any further, I didn't know what capacity we're coming in, right? It was just bring you in as a caller who obviously have a lot of knowledge. I know you're familiar with economics and research, but I want you to give some idea the capacity you're speaking in, because again, a lot of questions coming in because you have that type of voice,
right,
you know,
right.
It's speaking with authority, and people want to know which official is this.
Right.
So just give a quick background so that people have an understanding.
Right. Well, that is true. Right. Well, mm-hmm. I'm economics trained at the KFL. I've also done courses at universities US, Virginia. I did work at courses at Erasmus University in the Netherlands. So I did a lot of work at different universities. Mm-hmm. My strongest areas in economics and tourism. I did a lot of work in that area. So I've have a business, tourism and economics research intelligence, and that's the kind of I research doing things like that.
Correct.
Right. I also is an entrepreneur, so I'm into transport and that kind of thing.
Good. Okay. Good.
So
we'll continue. I just wanted to put that on the table.
But I want to add this to the listening audience. One of the things I'm doing this exciting piece of work right now in my research, and it's simply this. Trying to reconstruct and innovate the macroeconomic model for developing economies. And why I say that is to add on to this to the listening audience. One of the things that we in the developing world fall a lot on is we do too much of branding people with ideas. All the major countries in the world have idea management systems to allow ideas to come through from anybody. The lowest person, the car washer, whatever. And that's what's missing in the Barbados case. We need to move away from the position that where an idea could only come from a certain kind of person. That's the error. Because you wouldn't get innovation, you wouldn't get creativity if ideas could only come from certain people. And I think that's noted and it has to be noted in this thing. Because here I am, I'm not a medical doctor. But I have allowed economic research and the ability to analyze, to add to the discourse.
Mm-hmm. There were some other points you were making along the economic line too. I think that we have to get in to add and supplement to another program we had here with Sanka. And that is looking at the estimates that were done and how the estimates may look going forward. Now, because we head into the latest, I'm actually glad to have this conversation with you. It actually was facilitated well. I think we got a better quality. I've asked the technical team to test some more on the WhatsApp calling because this is something I believe can help us to attract a wider net of contributions and also to attract the Barbadians within the diaspora. So I want to thank you for taking your time for coming on and giving us some information on this, and we will chat again. So thank you very much. Brastats, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. And you?
Great, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. We have some experts sometimes, but the definition is that they know more and more, but less and less. Mm-hmm. I leave that there. Mm-hmm. The other thing is that this thing about the fare service and the announcement that they made about burning fares and permission and things like that need to be elucidated. Mm-hmm. I think it is very sketchy. We have to go and pay to get a permit to burn a fare, but I think they need to really come out and say something more about that and so people can understand what they're really talking about. And I agree, the past fairman, fairman, who said that burning a fare is without permission. They should not have to get permission to burn a fare. The other thing is, there's lots of talk about people not knowing that. Now, this whole question of communications. Communications is a two-way street. A sender, a decoder and a receiver who sends back messages to you and give you feedback. The amount of radio stations and houses we got in Barbados now, they are tremendous. And lots of people in various different age categories listen to the radio stations and the CBC TV and the bar flow and the cell and those kind of things. So we need to be very conscious of that. From time to time, and in recent times since this government was elected, there are lots of things that happen. If some communication, yes, the whole question about licensing and putting that little tag in the back of your car, the whole thing about this whole question about people committing crime, and they get on the airwaves, and people get to know. So I'm wondering why it is said that people don't know. I remember, and I believe you were too as a boy growing up, when you throw a pebble into the pond, what do you see?
You see ripples.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But not one.
Not one. Many ripples. Great ripples. Yes.
And then they go back to the old grandmother saying, one bad apple, do what?
Spoil the other apples.
Right. So therefore,
or take it out and check
people in Barbados
But when you see the ripples, do the ripples go right to the end of the pond, or they stop after a while?
All the way to the pond.
So if you throw a stone into the ocean, will it go right around to China and come back around?
I know about the pond. Mm-hmm. I know about the pond. But the ocean, I'm not too sure about the pond,
But they don't even go to the end of the pond. The point I'm making, right, is do you accept or do you refute that there are some people out there that really don't have a clue what's going on?
But they're very much in the minority.
Thank you.
But we need, really seriously need, to determine that we're going to take out and make an example of one or two persons who are out there doing nonsense.
You said the same thing. And make it very public and let that ripple around to the end of the pond. You understand? Right. Don't China pebble, China rock. You understand? As we would say, a rock stone.
There were young soldiers playing basketball in the community courts. Mm-hmm. You know what Cuomo did?
We did.
Take down all the basketball rings. So the sports council could go and check their net down in Hillsville. The table tennis, the lawn tennis net. Because they got the right out there.
This is serious, right?
Everybody want to do their own thing in Barbados. Mm-hmm. So we have to make some examples. But, and they make examples the same way that things go around the social media fast.
Mm-hmm.
They go around just as fast. Mm-hmm. Four people were arrested yesterday for doing foolishness.
Correct.
And that will go around. And the people who think go around.
I agree. My only issue they have with these things, right, is that when you see one Jason Brown and he commit or breach the offense, right? And you deal with him. My issue is that when you see Mr. Charlie High around the corner doing the same thing, that the same thing is applied. That's the only concern he's got in these times when we want to get real hard. Because we gotta be hard right across the board. Because that is the hardest stop after a while, depending on a couple things, right? That's the only concern I got. But good call, man.
Everybody must apply to. Don't only get to a fellow that is just there, and don't get to everybody else.
Right.
Give it to the rich, the famous, the black, the white, the green, the pink, and the yellow. Give it to everybody. When you see them doing foolishness, send home the message. And I know that what happens in Barbados is that, as you were saying this morning, when the guys go on the bus, they'll be joyful to put their hands in the air shaking.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, oh, he was a good boy, but he was a real good boy, but you know something? Bad boys in Barbados go and die. Every time a bad boy doesn't commit crime, every time a fellow goes and commit crime,
it's a good one. It's true.
Call
it good to the people in the neighborhood. Some of the baddest boys and thing you hear, you see them. When you see them old ladies get off of the bus, they say, "Grands, come, let me carry your groceries." And those people see them as good people. I've witnessed that on more than one occasion. But you did well, sir. Thank you for your comments. You did well. As the world faces what I consider World War III, we have a common enemy called COVID-19. We will continue to fight and we will come out good on the other end. In relation to permits, a question was asked earlier and I got a response from the minister in the Ministry of Finance, and I will give it a read right now so that people have this official information for persons who want to know about the passes. It says the organization will need to apply on behalf of their employees, not the employees individually. And the authorized person from the organization will need a template to input the information. They can send the request to emergency.pass@barbados.gov.bb. I'll say that a little slower. You can send it to emergency.pass@barbados.gov.bb. Now, these are some of the questions this is a question that was asked, and this is how they're looking at dealing with the passes. It says, are the people from these medical labs working after the curfew? Only personnel working after the curfew require a pass. Those working during regular hours do not need a pass. And that was a question asked earlier, and this is an official response to that. Now, again, I don't want everybody emailing this thing looking for a pass. Only you hear it name an emergency pass. So if you need a siren, it means it's an emergency. And you can go to emergency.pass@barbados.gov.bb to apply for that pass. Brastats, good afternoon. You're on the air. Good afternoon. I don't want to bring in anyone so close to the news. You know what happened last time with that. So let me read some WhatsApps and I'll come to those callers when we come back from the latest. This one says, good day, Corey. How are you? Suggestion, re-unemployment checks issued by NAS. Currently, the checks are crossed checks, which means one would have to go to the bank. Can the NAS not cross the checks that they may be cashed at the supermarket, etc.? This would avoid persons going to bank to deposit them, then to withdraw. I think that's a good suggestion. These are different times and there are things we're doing differently. I would like to commend, I would forward that on to the NAS and see what they would do. They obviously, that's done for a security measure, but we'll see. This one says, Corey Lane, I have not received any pension since February. I do not work and now my son have been laid off from work. I've been going there 2 or 3 days a week and given different excuses. I have food to buy and bills to pay. My phone was placed on soft touch from last week. I just don't know what else to do other than wait on someone who said she's going to find out for me and get back to me on what is really going on. And I would like to encourage that person. One of the things you can do is call 535-HOPE because, one, if you're feeling down, that's the number. Two, as it is located at Elder Affairs, they will be able to advocate on your behalf as well to ensure that they can get you some assistance and find out what is going on in the system. In relation to testing, someone is asking a question, are we testing people willy-nilly or people with signs or people based on contact tracing? My understanding from the chief medical officer, the majority of the tests were done through contact tracing and then obviously persons who present with signs as well. So we're not doing any willy-nilly testing. One of the press conferences by the Prime Minister, I heard her say we brought in 50,000 tests, ordered 50,000 tests and ordering another 50,000. And we had about 3,000 from before approximately. So I think we're going to have enough tests should the need arise. Now, these are tests that I want us to have and never have to use. I would like these tests to catch COVID, to rust out, to do whatever they have to do. And bearing in mind that from listening to the chief medical officer, people may have to get a minimum of 3 tests. One test to confirm you're positive, and then another 2 tests to clear when you're negative. So that's approximately 3 tests per person, if I am to draw logic from what the chief medical officer would have said on Sunday. Now, again, for those listening, now joining the program, the number to call for the Barbados Workers Union, for those who are unsure about layoff versus vacation versus whatever, you can give them a call at 573-5017. That's 573-5017. Or you can send an email to ird@bwu.org.bb. That's ird@bwu.org.bb. To ask those very important questions in relation to your status at work with vacation or laying off. The Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Stats. I'm your host, Corey Lane, and you can give us a call 434-1790 or send your WhatsApp to 266-IVOB, 266-4862. As we continue to look at COVID, the nightmare, no matter how much you shake your head, you wouldn't be awakened from, or the horror movie that you just can't turn off. When the WhatsApps are pointing out that they're concerned about this soft touch thing in this time, the same way we asked for the water be turned on as an essential service, they're asking if we can forget this soft touch thing, especially for the elderly, those with disabilities and so on. They've even suggested that we could put the soft touch in the other direction where people can call in but can call out, but you can't call in. But people will be checking on the elderly, so I wouldn't support that either. And they've asked for the waiving of reconnection fees and arrears and just let the monthly fee continue for this emergency time. And I want to support that last part for sure. I definitely want to give that some support. Let's go back to the lines and say good afternoon and welcome to the next caller. You're on the air. Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon, Corey.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good, Sarah. Just want to support a few points quickly. And one is the fact that, yes, many persons, because of their social standing, will be naive to what's really happening with respect to COVID. And that is very important that the authorities continue to send the messaging out. And also, like, if there are reports of people gathering, playing games or whatever, that the defense force or the police, whoever, will go out, disperse them, but at the same time, you know, educate them as to why we need you guys off the road and don't congregate. So we need to work with a lot of these people, because a lot of them, unfortunately, does not really understand the magnitude of this COVID-19. I think one of the things, though, is that people always feel that they cannot catch whatever's happening. So I feel good. Corey feels good, so we can hang out. Mm-hmm. Not knowing who Corey or I went with before or what place we might have touched on. And I think that's one of the things we need to get the people to understand, that they should start looking at each other as you could possibly have it. So mm-hmm. I'm staying away, and not the mindset that we ain't gonna catch it, you know? And I think that's one of the areas we need to focus in on as well.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
All right, cool. So we need to continue pushing the physical distancing and staying indoors as much as we can. Mm-hmm. Finally, though, I'd like to also comment on the follow-up for small businesses. You know, many small businesses depend on daily and weekly income to actually pay wages at the end of the week. So it's going to be very challenging for a lot of these businesses to continue to pay the employees. And as such, this is where the NIS really need to step in and assist those small businesses. Once they've been filing their correct taxes and so on and so forth, and can prove and show to the authorities that, you know, this is how my business has been running genuinely, and it's a struggle for me to pay. But what I would like to say is that the big businesses that have been making substantial profits over the years, this is the time for them to step up and support their employees and pay them. Corey, cut your profits. Yeah, I can make losses this year, but I'm working with my people. And by doing so, they're going to build loyalty with their employees. And they need to look at it in that sense. Those companies that make a lot of money every year, take a cut of your bottom line this year. Work with your people and pay them during this hard period. And you're building loyalty. So that's what we'd like to comment at this time. And trust that we as Barbadians really begin to, you know, look at this thing as serious as it is. As David said, when you look at the news of what's happening in New York and Italy, I mean, it's mind-boggling. And you can imagine that kind of spread taking place in Barbados. Mm. So we all need to really, you know, be sensitive to everyone, help everyone, support everyone, and do what the government and the authorities are putting in place to safeguard us all.
All right,
that is why we need to contribute, sir.
All right, good call, man. Thanks a lot for calling. Brastats, good afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
Peace be unto you in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Corey?
Amen and thanks to you, sir. Yes.
Yes, sir. I'm calling today. Peace to all Barbados and all the listeners and everyone listening. I listen to Barstacks daily, you know, and I listen to all the moderators. And I want people to know that I listened to you having a discussion with a caller, and even to have a little contentious discussion about punishment, capital punishment. And most of the Christians, or the people who call themselves Christians, as the Bible would say, called by the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I don't think they are well informed on really what the Bible says or is written in the Bible. Because if you should go to Deuteronomy 25, you will see there that Moses of himself ordered lashes for people who don't really comply with the law. And therefore, it is not for Christians to say, I heard a man talking to David on Monday, and he said, leave the church alone. Leave the church alone and the church this and, you know, and whatnot. Because people have not yet realized the seriousness of this COVID-19. And therefore, they believe because the pastor tell them nobody can touch them, touch not the Lord anointed, they can do as they want to. And therefore, this is why you sometimes you have to look at the law, but you cannot weigh the law and don't look at from the Bible side, because the Bible of itself condemns them. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying.
I understand. And again, I like to see all these sides of an argument. I think some people will commend them for their faith because they say with a faith as like a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. So some people will commend them for their faith because if you really believe in God and the healing power of God Almighty, you should be able to go ahead. It's just the heathens that will probably catch the virus. That's what may be in their head. So they may argue they have a stronger faith than you because as this thing happened when it ran in front of the church, you might go in the church, you're covered.
That is another point. I would not bring in my other point. But the point that everybody, you see, because everybody has a different philosophical thinking mm-hmm. about their God. Yep. And there is only one God, Moses said that, and there is only one Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, look how many different denominations there are. And each and every pastor is preaching his own
side
and whole thing.
I think, and that's why believing, looking at water, that's why I believe in looking at the situation as a whole. Because there are some churches that have been heavily affected by this. Across the world, there are a number of churches where many people in the congregation, there's an entire choir that have been infected with the virus. So that may send a signal. Some may say probably they don't have enough faith. My concern, though, has been a number of pastors are saying, I can't say a number, it's only two I saw that say, you know, okay, if we can close wrong, we should be allowed to send wrong people to collect the offering. Now, when you do that in these times, people can get highly suspicious of your motives. And you should be looking more at trying to help out your members by making sure you're on the phone with them. Some may need some counseling, some may need some food and so on. But as you can focus on if they could collect offering and different things like that, the tithes and so on. Again, raise red flags for a lot of people.
I do not agree with this situation about collecting, offering, or money. Sir, when Jesus was here, he used to tell his men, come, let's go fishing. Pastors should go and work. This is deep in my heart. I believe it. I do not believe that nobody should be getting paid to preach the gospel or the kingdom of God. And therefore, I believe that pastors should be carpenters, masons,
and fishers of men,
and all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. Because Jesus said, go and work. Come, mm-hmm. let's go fishing, man. So therefore, don't worry to come with you. One fella I understood, say he opening an account at a bank to tell people go and put money on the bank for him, and all this sort of thing. These things that are practiced in Barbados and touch not the Lord anointed and all that sort of thing, you know, I don't see those things in the Bible. A man talking about come and plant a holy seed and all those things, got the people head terrorized and whatnot. Nobody, I'm planting the money in nobody's garden. Anybody, I'm planting my money in my garden. I ain't giving no pastor or nobody
but
no
it,
money.
But I just want to clarify some things. Now, first of all, when the pastors, they're winning souls, that can be considered as
that's
work.
That's winning money. That's not winning souls, Corey.
I'm talking about the ones out there winning
you.
Souls.
I love to listen to you, Corey.
But no, not bad. We talking about the ones out there winning souls. I ain't talking about the one out there winning money. Okay. Then the other thing is you're not putting money to pay. They say you're paying really for the upkeep of the building, the upkeep of the person. You're not paying necessarily technically paying the person. Okay. I don't want you to put all in the same lump all together. Okay.
I really don't have better understanding than that. Okay.
So you think all of them out there just winning money? That's what you think?
Listen, Corey, this business, you look
it's a straightforward
like,
question, you sir. You think all them out there just winning money? Yes or no? You think all them out there winning money? Speak to me, don't be frightened. Talk.
No, I can talk to you,
right,
Corey.
Speak your mind.
Listen, David Ellis or any of the moderators mm-hmm. there will tell you mm-hmm. about Reverend Lewis.
Yes, I hear about you.
I am a
very
man
serious
that
man.
I've been preaching the gospel for years.
Correct.
I know about church work.
Right.
So therefore, I will tell you something, and if I speak it, I know I will gain a lot of enemies, but this is what speaking the gospel or speaking the truth is all about.
Mm-hmm. Come on,
you
things.
Look at a lot of the pastors today who drive the best cars, eat the best food, talking about ties this and ties that, and they like to quote Abraham and Melchizedek. about paying tithes.
Mm-hmm.
I want to put it to Barbados. Abraham never gave Melchizedek 1 cent. And therefore, it is written in the law, everybody can read it in Genesis 14. Mm-hmm. Abraham went to a war, take up a war with his nephew being captured. He carried sticks and stones and swords and whatnot. He ain't carrying the money. When he came back, he went and took the money away from the plunderers who plundered Melchizedek and those people. And Abraham took back the money to Melchizedek. And when Melchizedek said, well, take something, he said, Melchizedek, I don't want not from you, not even one shoelace. Do you understand it was a shoelace?
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, Abraham didn't pay Melchizedek nothing. Abraham didn't owe Melchizedek nothing. Tell the pastors, go and learn and study the Bible. So therefore, Abraham said, all I want, I went for my nephew, I got back my nephew, and I gone back. I lift up my hands to the heavens, to the God that created heaven and earth.
Yeah,
and I did not go from about money. So you see, these pastors teach the people, tell them, stop telling the people lies. Tell them to tell the people the truth. The Bible said that the truth shall make the people free. And if the truth shall set you free, then you're free indeed. Not the truth like telling you, oh, this is the truth. You know, what God loves. No.
I want to thank you. You came up and you passed with flying colors. That's all I want you to do. I want you to speak from the heart and what you believe. And a lot of people here are supporting you, as do I. Thank you very much for your contribution. Now, I know we got the ICAB 5 minute to bring you up to speed with, you know, some financial advice. So don't you move. And for all of you messaging about the challenge, I do it at the end. So that gives you a reason to stay right until 2 p.m. today on the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks.